Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, December 6th. I'm Ray Graff. Some of you cooks out there may be hoping for a new kitchen gadget this holiday season. Well, aren't you in luck? The kings of gadgets are here with the tips and recipes for the sought-after air fryer. Authors Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough are here. They've brought with them their new book, The Essential Air Fryer Cookbook, their 32nd book already. It contains more than 300 recipes using the air fryer. If you want to learn more, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can email us as well at voxpop@wamc.org. Bruce, Mark, air fryer cooking, how can you lose? It comes up after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Joining us today are best-selling authors Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough. They have published more than 30 cookbooks in 16 years. Actually, this is their 32nd. For you math experts out there, it's thousands of original recipes tested and written. The duo is here with their latest work, book number 32, The Essential Air Fryer Cookbook. It contains more than 300 recipes using this really amazing kitchen contraption that scares the daylights out of me. If you have a question about the air fryer, oh yeah, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Bruce Weinstein, Mark Scarborough, welcome back.
Hey, Ray, it's great to be here.
Hey, Ray.
Book number 32, man.
32?
It's a cracker, I'll tell you. It's
nice. Well, you know, air fryers, in the last year, they have become the hottest thing anywhere. And
is this because of you? In other words, every time
it's
not
because of us. I think that it is this fantastic, fast way to make super crunchy food with very little added oil. And I think that that has just blown the market apart.
All right, before we talk recipes, explain to me how an air fryer works. You said not that much oil.
That's right.
So there must be some oil.
Well, some people say you need none. Bruce and I actually advocate for a spritz. And I mean, we have little spritz bottles that we bought and that we spritz some of the food with oil. How it works is basically an air fryer is like a countertop convection oven, except the fan is supercharged. So the air is more like, what, a Scirocco that surrounds the food with this super hot air, way hotter and faster. I shouldn't say hotter, way faster than your convection oven can work. And so it dries the food out and it turns it ultra crispy.
Because what you really want is dried out food.
Right? Well, no. Come on. It dries out like, you know, the coating on jalapeno poppers so they get honestly crunchy without using a deep fryer.
I mean, the whole idea of what cooking is to begin with, it's dehydration, right? I mean, you're just taking the moisture out.
So that is what
cooking is all about. But Mark is right. You get this superheated air that blows over the food. Now, he says it's like a small convection oven. It's about the size of a small microwave.
Okay.
Or a very, very large toaster oven.
All right.
And there are two styles. There's the kind that look like a toaster oven, and you open the door, and there's a shelf that is, and the shelves are like made of mesh, like wire, so that air can blow all around top and bottom.
Okay.
Some of them have more than one shelf. If you're getting that model, that kind, you want to get one with more than one shelf because the more footage you've got, the better.
Right.
The others have a drawer that pulls out. And then the fan and the heating element sits on top and blows the hot air down on the food that sits in a basket in the drawer. The drawers were the original style.
Right.
Some of them are really great. They just tend to hold a little less. So it's just a matter of what you like aesthetically.
Yeah, we say that you should buy, if you're looking for an air fryer for the holidays,
right,
that you should buy the largest model you can.
And how big is the largest model?
Well, it's interesting. They go by quart size. But it's funny because if you think, well, 3 quarts sounds like you could fit a lot of food in it.
Right.
But they're talking about total volume. So a 3-quart cooker might only have a 7-inch square tray that you could fit food on. So you're talking there only one chicken breast or two chicken thighs.
That's not very convenient.
No, so you want to look at something that's got 10 quart or 12 quart.
Right.
Anything that's like 6.5 quart up is probably going to give you the square footage you need.
Is there one big enough to do a Christmas ham?
No.
No.
Okay.
Because you can always make less in a large model, but you can't make more in a small
amount.
Which is
why you
right. Even if you're just cooking for yourself, you can always crisp up a chicken breast in a large model. But if you're cooking for, I don't know, you know, the Galilean hordes, you then...
You mean my family.
Sure.
Right.
Then that means that you're going to need a larger model, or you're going to be just stuck doing single chicken breasts in batches forever.
Well, you're cooking for seven people.
Right.
So you're going to want to get one that's got at least two shelves so that you could put... So if you get like a big one with two shelves, you could probably cook seven chicken breasts
right.
at once.
For me, I mean, two shelves and a half bath,
well,
right?
There you
that
go.
Would be perfect. Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough are here. The new book, book number 32, They Never Stop Writing, The Essential Air Fryer Cookbook is here. And we're talking about these air fryers. I saw when I was in the store.
Yeah.
Scared me to death.
Why did it scare you?
Because the air's got to be like 2,000 degrees.
You're cooking anywhere from 300 to 400 degrees, just like an oven. But it's blowing much faster because you want to get a crispy, crispy coating. And this is... Whether you're making fried fish or fried chicken, look, you could do something with chicken skin where you just put the chicken in. We talked about having to add a little bit of oil.
Yeah.
If you do something that has a lot of fat in it, like chicken with the skin, that you could actually just put in. You don't have to add the flour and then spray it. You could just put chicken in. You could put a steak in. You could put a pork chop
in. And the
in.
Best potato salad, I'm not kidding you, ever.
Fried potato salad?
Wait, just let me tell you. You buy the bag of frozen potato cubes, no coating on them. I don't want any coating on anything.
Okay.
So just the frozen potato cubes, and you put them in, you spritz them with a little bit of vegetable oil, olive oil, put them in the basket with a sliced up onion, and you air fry it. So now you have air-fried potatoes and onions. You mix that with whatever you like to make potato salad with, I swear it will be the best potato salad you have ever had.
All right, before we get more into this, and there's much more to ask, and I still have some questions that might belie a skeptic. You guys, every year you're excited about a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Miracle Pot.
The Instant Pot. We're still excited about that. That's a great
Do you ever just chuck them
Instant
out in the backyard?
Oh, gosh, no. I still use them. I probably have 13 Instant Pots still lined up in the garage.
Oh, cut it out.
I keep two in the house because I use them all the time. I probably have 8 air fryers now, and there's one always in the kitchen because I use it every day. When we have lunch, whatever was for dinner last night goes in the air fryer to heat up. In 7 minutes, I could reheat a chicken till it's crispy, crispy, without having to turn the oven on, without having to preheat it all.
It's the best way, honestly, and this is not what the air fryer can do, but when you bring home a rotisserie chicken from the supermarket, if you just cut that thing in half and put it in the basket for just a few minutes, maybe 5 minutes,
five
right?
5 minutes at 375.
It'll re-crisp it up so it's not soft and gooey anymore. I hate soft
and gooey. Who invented
the
air fryer?
Mr. Air Fryer.
You know what? No. You wrote
Mr.
a book.
Fryer.
You wrote a
Mr.
book. You should
Fryer.
Know, right?
There's a company called Philips that had one of the first ones out there. And now they're just like, there are a million brands. But the thing is that you can make anything. Like we say the book has 300 recipes from healthy to decadent because healthy meaning you could take a seasoned steak, a seasoned boneless, skinless chicken breast, and put it in there, and it will air fry it, which is more like broil roasting because there's no coating on it.
Right.
And in 7 minutes, it'll be perfectly done and delicious. You want to be a little more decadent? You could take that same boneless, skinless chicken breast, and you can grind up pork rinds.
Okay.
Coat it in those.
Now I'm getting interested.
And then it tastes like fried chicken that was deep fried in lard, but it wasn't deep fried in lard. So yes, it's coated in chicharrones, but it is much healthier for you than if you deep fried it in lard.
Have there ever been any major accidents? Like we know with the old pressure cookers that grandma had, you know, the explosions, beheadings and stuff.
Took Toledo out once.
With this air fryer, you got this hot wind going, whipping around.
Yeah.
Ever have an explosion where you get tornadoes of chicken flying around the kitchen or anything?
No, but I will give you a hint.
You do have to remember that this thing is hot,
it
and
is
it's
hot.
An oven, and you can't just reach in it in the same way you would never reach in your oven and pull out, I don't know, a tray of cookies with a bare hand.
No, you're not going to reach in and pull out the French fries by hand.
I may or may not have done that. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. Bruce Weinstein, Mark Scarborough here. The new book, The Essential Air Fryer Cookbook, the hard-hitting Mike Wallace-type questions are coming up. That's the end of the song. Wow, we made it through the whole thing. It's Vox Pop Food Friday. Ray Graff here. The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough are here, and they have written a new one called The Essential Air Fryer Cookbook. You know, full disclosure, I don't have one of these things. I did see one at the store, so I think I know a little about these things. My first, and by the way, if you want to call, if you have a question about air fryers, and who doesn't? Apparently a lot of you. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. First off,
yeah.
What won't this do?
Well, it doesn't freeze ice cream. But I will tell you that
it won't make anything that is, it's not a, it's a cooking tool for
super
crunchiness.
Crispy food, yeah.
Right.
I couldn't live without my air fryer at this point.
Right.
It has become this tool that I use almost every day.
Until next year.
No.
When it's in the garage lined up with the Instapots.
But I keep taking them out and using them. Okay, so the other day, Mark wanted something sweet.
Right.
So I pulled out, I had leftover from Halloween, I had some of those fun-sized Snicker bars.
Sure.
And I pulled them out of the freezer, and I coated them in some egg white and some crushed vanilla wafers.
Yeah.
I gave them a little spritz with oil.
Yeah.
And 4 minutes in the air fryer.
Okay,
and
now you're talking my language.
Fried Snicker bars that weren't deep fried.
Have you been? You've been to the county fair and you've
of
seen
course.
They have these
yeah.
fried candy bars. It's yeah. like the greatest invention of all time.
So now you know why you need an air fryer.
Okay, now that brings me to my second question.
Oh, yeah?
The ones at the fair and the fried food that I love, it's got a little grease.
Yeah, this is not a
drawback of this thing.
There's no grease here.
I don't like that.
Oh, you will like it, though.
But it
because
is.
Because when there's no grease like that, you can eat more. And you don't feel sick. So now you can, instead of one fried Snicker bar, you can eat three for the same amount of calories.
Yeah, see? you can eat three
it's healthier.
Fried candy bars and not have dumping syndrome.
I think you underestimate my gluttony, frankly, because let's go to the phones, 800-348-2551. Amy in New Paltz. Amy, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for letting me talk with you for a minute.
Sure.
I'd like to know if there's a way to make wonderful potato latkes for Hanukkah using the air fryer. My daughter recently bought an air fryer as a college graduation present to herself, and she loves using it. And I was thinking it'd be good to know whether we could do our Hanukkah latkes with it this year.
Okay, now, this is Mark talking, so I'm going to start, but I'm going to let Bruce tell you how.
Oh, wait, you're Mark?
But I'm gonna give you the my seal. This is the Goyesha seal of approval.
Wow.
But
nice.
That right. Bruce made latkes just as an experiment about a week and a half ago. I could not stop eating them. And I actually said to him, these are better than the fried ones in the oil. So, all right, Bruce, take it away.
So basically what I did is I grated the potatoes and I squeezed them dry so there was no moisture left in them at all. And then I mixed in matzo meal and an egg and some seasoning. And the thing is, you don't want this mixture to be too wet and runny. So then I added a little extra potato starch to really seal them together and hold them well. And then each little mound I sprayed with some vegetable oil, and I put them in the air fryer, and they were amazing. In fact, I made a video of doing them, and you can go to our YouTube channel, which is Cooking with Bruce and Mark, and one of the videos up there is my making the latkes.
And you didn't flatten them completely,
No.
You kind of mounded them a little bit. Now, I mean, they were not like cones, but they were not completely flat.
They were amazing. They were just so delicious and fast And, you know, you fry latkes and you can use half a bottle of oil.
And
so, as I said to Ray, rather than eating two latkes, you can eat 10 latkes.
And just to give it one more time, that Goyesha seal of approval, I ate mine with ketchup, as of course the Goy would, and it was delicious. Oh, my gosh, they were delicious.
Amy, I'm guessing you don't use ketchup on them.
I never have, but I might try that this year instead of the applesauce.
Well, thank you for the call.
I am so excited. Thank you.
Sure. 800-348-2551 is the number. Yeah, you want to learn about the air fryer? We have the experts here. They have done 300 recipes in this new book, The Essential Air Fryer Cookbook. Mark Scarborough and Bruce Weinstein here to answer your questions. I'm just opening it up here. Vietnamese shaking beef?
No.
It sounds like an illness.
Oh, no. Shaking beef is a great dish. So basically, it's always made with filet mignon, and it's got, you know, Asian spices and fish sauce. And the thing is, it's always finished with a little melted butter.
Nice.
And what you can do in the air fryer is actually put like a cake pan inside that drawer on the shelf,
right,
and then use it almost like it's a skillet or a wok inside the hot blowing air. So you could cook a lot of things in the air fryer with our recipes you might not think could actually be done in an air fryer.
Now, I opened it up here just randomly. Buttery lobster tails. Mm-hmm. Now, I got to tell you, there's a place. Every summer, we go up to York Beach, Maine, and there's this place up by the Nubble Lighthouse, Fox's Lobster House.
Yum.
In the last few years, I've been just... I'm addicted now to these deep-fried lobster tails.
Oh, yum.
I mean, they're the most amazing. I'm sure that I will someday need a heart procedure because of them.
I see, but now you can make them without needing a heart procedure.
All right, tell me about this one.
These aren't going to be deep-fried. These get just herb-coated and seasoned beautifully and then just put in this super heated hot air until they're crunchy, crunchy.
And I want to say, for one of my favorite things that I know of from the air fryer, which is super simple to make, is our grilled cheese sandwiches. And I think the air fryer does a spot on great job because, and this is, don't jump away from me technique here.
Go ahead.
So you do whatever bread you like. I tend to like rye, but whatever bread you like with your grilled cheese, and I put my sharp cheddar cheese inside of it, and you spread a very thin coating on the outside of each slice of mayonnaise. Don't jump away from me.
No. Been there, done that.
And then you put that in the air fryer. It makes it so crunchy. I mean, so crunchy, that sandwich. It's like the grilled cheese you've always wanted.
Because think about that. Mayonnaise is fat, and it's frying the outside of the bread.
Yeah.
And then the cheese is melting. You passed by a picture in the book before we started talking of a Reuben, and you were like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, that Reuben does look good.
So the cheese is all melty, and the the nice thing about making a Reuben in the air fryer, you could buy corned beef in the deli department of the supermarket. Put the corned beef in the air fryer for 2 minutes first to heat it up. Then build your sandwich with the hot corned beef, and then it takes another 4 minutes to brown.
You know, I gotta be honest with you. And again, I don't want to cause controversy here, but I like my grilled cheese with some good butter on there, right?
Okay.
Oh, well, you can do it with butter. I'm just saying that when I make it with the mayonnaise, it's good. And let me also say, since I'm going to hold to my Goyesha credentials today, I'm the only one here who's going to hold to the dictum that Reubens don't have cheese.
You're wrong.
So I'm going to be the kosher one here because Reubens
do not.
No,
you got to have the Swiss on.
Yeah, no. Exactly. Yeah. No. He's wrong. They do not have cheese.
All right, let's take another call before we get into a fight. 800-348-2551. Chris in Northampton. Chris, you're on.
Hi. Good afternoon. Thanks for the show today.
Sure.
I'm calling because I wanted to share one little story. I had bought an air fryer with the drawer, one of the older style ones, and we would take butternut squash with, just like you say, a little spitz of olive oil and seasoning, and that would just come out, like, instead of potatoes all carby and all of that, you've got these beautiful crunchy bites of squash that just almost like home fries. They're just amazing.
They are delicious.
So I just was going to share that.
Do you know let me just say one thing about that butternut squash. You know how they sell it now, shredded up into shreds in the supermarket, spiralized butternut squash? All you have to do is toss that with a little salt and spritz it just a little bit with oil, and you can make curly Q butternut fries out of that in no time.
It's like shoestrings. Yeah, basically it's like making shoestring butternut.
So sorry I stepped on you. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'll definitely try that. I was so inspired by this first machine, I went out and waited for a sale on one of the oven-style ones, and I did get a great price. this thing will take a whole rotisserie chicken inside.
Yep.
Oh,
I never did anything like that. It literally will spin the meat.
Oh, yours has the rotisserie. Yeah, some of them have baskets that you like to fill them with the potatoes, and they toss around as it goes. Air fryers are absolutely magical machines.
I love when Bruce shreds up Brussels sprouts and air fries them. They're just like millions of crunchy threads of Brussels. It's delicious.
It's not so much a gimmick. It's not so much a gimmick as an absolutely great way to cook. I totally agree with you guys.
Yep.
Well, I think maybe even you've convinced Ray he has to have one now.
Well, the jury's out. But thank you very much for the call, Chris. We appreciate it. 800-348-2551 is the number on Food Friday. 800-348-2551. Oreo coated peanut butter cups.
There you go.
Maybe I do need one of these.
And you put the Oreos in the food processor and you make powder out of it. You take the peanut butter cups, they're frozen, just like the Snicker bars were.
Yeah.
And liquid medium of choice is always beaten egg white. So the frozen peanut butter cups go in the egg white, then they go into the ground up Oreos, and they go right in the drawer.
Purchased, this is so downscale. Purchased pie crust and strawberry jam makes hand pies or fried pies in the air fryer like you can't believe. You just spread it out, spread the jam on the pie crust, cut it, seal it into those triangles. Oh my God, it's so good. It's irresistible.
The number here is 800-348-2551. The new book from Mark Scarborough and Bruce Weinstein is The Essential Air Fryer Cookbook. We're learning a lot about it's hot air, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's just hot blowing air.
So you get a biscuit pan and a really strong blow dryer. You can do the same thing, right?
No, you can't.
No? All right, back to the phone.
Sure you can.
David in Greenwich. David, you're on.
Hi. Hello. Hey, it sounds like a great thing to have. But one of the questions I ask about all these products is cleaning.
How to clean them. Great question.
Great question. Let me start, and I'm going to throw it to Bruce. Let me say one thing that I agree with you, and I think if I had to tell you one to buy, drawer or oven style, I would tell you to buy the drawer style because I think it's easier to clean up because I can take that drawer out and wash it in the sink and shove it back in the machine. The oven style ones are prone to a little more goopiness. But
grease
now
build up.
I'll let Bruce, since Bruce is the chef in our duo, I'll let him say more about it.
Well, the thing is, when you're cooking, grease splatters around. So if you're cooking things that are fatty, like say you wanted to put sausages in your air fryer, there is going to be splattering of the natural fat in the sausage around the inside of the machine. So you're going to then have to take the drawers out and clean the inside. Let's take the shelves out, clean the inside, or take the drawer out and clean it. You are eventually, if you cook those kind of foods, going to get fat splattering up towards the fan and the heating element where you really can't clean. So what you'll end up having is just your machine will start to smoke a bit. And the only way to avoid that is not to cook super fatty foods. And the whole idea of these machines are that you cook with very little fat. So the way to keep them cleaner and keep them smoke-free is to stick to that dictum. And so you want to make fried chicken, that's great. Use boneless, skinless thighs and boneless, skinless breasts and bread them or coat them. In fact, we have this amazing recipe where it sounds like it's not low fat, but it's kind of a hybrid fat recipe where I grind up salt and vinegar potato chips.
Right.
And I coat chicken breasts in those. And then I don't need to spray them because there's enough fat in the chips.
Right.
And you get this potato crunchy, salty coating on the chicken breast.
How do you get them to stick to the chicken?
Beaten egg white.
Yeah.
And there you get very little fat splattering around the inside of the machine.
Let me say two things about cleaning up that came to mind. One, that we learn in testing hundreds of recipes. One is that, as Bruce said, you never spray directly into the machine.
Mm-mm.
If you spray into the machine or even spritz into the machine, you're going to inevitably have little bits of oil spray around. They're going to get on the walls of it. It's going to be a bit of a mess. That's one. And two, we advocate using spritz bottles with olive oil and vegetable oil because there is some evidence to suggest that the chemical propellants in aerosol oils degrade the coatings on the racks in air fryers.
Okay.
So we avoid the aerosol sprays at all costs. All
right. And follow the manufacturer's instructions. That's the number one answer to your question is every instruction manual will tell you how to clean your machine.
Right. I mean, the cover of this book has an illustration of
a drawer style.
That and it looks like flames are coming out. Now, is there a fire hazard?
No.
No?
Well, no, there's no more fire hazard
than
there
flames,
is.
That's not flames. That's just heat waves.
Culinary goodness. No more fire hazard than any other equipment than your toaster oven.
All right.
Yes, of course, an electrical equipment always has fire hazard attached.
All right. I mean, you know, if I'm making a grilled cheese, I might use a stick of butter on it, right?
Well,
that's a bad thing.
But you don't want to use a stick of butter in the air fryer, because then the butter will all drip to the bottom and it will start to smoke.
That's a design flaw.
Can I come run the cardiologist concession at your house? house?
Maybe not a whole stick of butter. Yeah, it's 2/3 of a stick.
But the point of the air fryer is you can use less of that and get the same results. That's the thing.
All right, what'd you bring to try? Wow. Oh, they didn't bring any food to try.
Did you tell me last time we were here? And I said, I'll bring you stuff. Don't bring any food. You can't cook here.
Let's go back to the phones. Louise in Chesterfield. Louise, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I think you answered some of my question, but I'm wondering, with all the different brands there are out there, what do you recommend? Is there a particular brand that you like?
I actually not going to recommend a particular brand, but I will tell you again that this is Mark, and this is my opinion. I find the drawer style easier to work with than the oven style, but that's only because the drawer style to me is so easy that I pull the drawer out, shove the food in it, close the drawer, and there I'm gone. But again, if you're looking for an air fryer for you, even if you're just cooking for yourself, do try to get the largest model you can conveniently get, because you'll just be caught making batches if you're making for 3 or 4 people.
Right. And I want to say that one thing, and I believe this is true in most things in life, you get what you pay for.
True.
And there are going to be air fryers that are going to be up in the 300 range. And do you need to spend that? Absolutely not.
No.
They're well built. They're nice. They're fabulous. But I also probably would avoid the ones that are $19 and $22.
Yes.
Because that's the low end, and those probably aren't going to last you very
long. Without endorsing any brands, there are the drawer style ones from manufacturers that are sturdy. When you look at it in the store, if you shop in the store, look for it to be sturdy, that it doesn't rock around on the counter, that it's not heavy, but you know what I mean, a sturdy piece of equipment.
Not made out of, say, balsa wood.
Correct.
Right. Gotcha. All right, Louise, thanks a lot for the call. We have Mark Scarborough and Bruce Weinstein here to talk about The Essential Air Fryer Cookbook. It is book number 32 in their collection of recipe books and cooking books. All right, now time for Mr. Skeptic here before the next break.
Okay.
Page 90, thick crust pepperoni pizza.
Yeah.
All right, now I've never had fried pizza before. So why don't you explain that one?
So basically you're using the air fryer here as a convection oven. It's still blowing super, super hot, which means this pizza is going to cook so fast that you're going to take, let's say we're using, we have a 6-inch cake round, right?
Right.
And we're going to oil the inside of it. And then we're going to take a 1/2 pound of pizza dough, spread that into the cake pan. And then we're going to spread some sauce over it, some sliced pepperoni and some shredded cheese. You just put that in the drawer or on the shelf. Turn that air fryer on, and it is only going to take 10 minutes, and you're going to have a bubbling, hot, super crispy, delicious
pizza. Does it taste like pizza?
Yes, it does.
Of course.
You're using pizza dough, pizza sauce, pepperoni, and cheese.
All right.
It is delicious.
All right. I got a buddy named Rocco and Troy who might take issue with this.
Why do you come in here and insult my family like this?
I'm telling you. He knows from pizza. All right, and then we'll take a break here in a minute. Roasted cauliflower soup. Come on, soup. Give me a break.
Okay, so the point here is you're roasting the cauliflower so it's caramelized and crunchy and brown, and then you puree that in a blender with some stock and some cream.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you warm it up in a pan. So you're using the air fryer here to turn the cauliflower into an ingredient for the soup that makes it unbelievable.
I got 3 words for you.
What?
Onion ring nachos.
Oh, my.
All right, let's take a break. Hold that thought. You have my attention. 800-348-2551. We'll get back to the calls in a minute. 800-348-2551. If you you've ever wondered how to make fried spam in an air fryer, this is the book for you, The Essential Air Fryer Cookbook. It's Mark Scarborough and Bruce Weinstein. They're here with their latest gadget for the holiday season. It's a nice book, though. Great. Who took the photos?
We use a photographer named Eric Metzger. He's in Brooklyn. And I do all the food styling myself. And we make a good team, and the stuff looks great.
It does. It's as all your books are. It's a beautifully done presentation.
Oh, thank you.
You know, spam, though. Believe it or not, this is how boring my life is. I had a chat with a couple of my younger kids about spam. They had no idea what it was.
But what I did with fried spam in the book is I coated them in a little wasabi. Like the Japanese spicy wasabi.
That was not an original spam recipe.
Some panko breadcrumbs.
Did your mother roast it like a block like mine did?
My mother roasted it. That's insane, man.
And she would cram pineapple chunks on toothpicks
like it's a ham.
My mother would just slice it, fry it, and make spam and cheese sandwiches.
That sounds much better than a spam roast.
Wasabi and panko. That's the way to go.
That's nice. Yeah, that's good. And you said something about onion fajitas or something?
Onion ring nachos. So one of the things that the air fryer, of course, does is crunch everything up. So honestly, this is a really absurdly easy recipe, but you just put in frozen onion rings. And I mean frozen, and don't even thaw them. Put them in frozen.
That's frozen. You mean,
yep.
Yes.
At what, about 400?
400. It takes about 10 minutes until they're crispy. Then you're going to take them out and dump them into that cake pan or in a piece of foil.
Yeah.
You're going to cover them in cheese and salsa.
And jalapenos.
Shove them back in the air fryer for 2 minutes so the cheese is melted.
Holy mackerel, that does sound good.
Onion ring nachos.
Did you bring any of that?
Yeah.
All right, this email came in from Becca in Albany. I love Food Friday, but today is super awesome. I just bought an air fryer and don't know much about them. Thanks to Bruce and Mark, I now have so many ideas. I've subscribed to their YouTube channel.
Yay,
so much cooking in my future. P.S. I can recommend any air fryer just for the pizza rolls alone. My daughter was so happy. They were golden brown, a color that I could never get in the oven. Mm-hmm. That's Becca.
Becca knows what an air fryer is for. Good for you.
Did you pay her to write it?
Absolutely not. I don't even know who she is.
I did.
All right, here we go. Back to the phone. Sue in Cambridge. Sue, you're on.
Hi, I came in a little bit late at the show, so I'm not sure if you talked about energy use for air fryers.
No.
And I know you're the chefs and not the manufacturers, but I'm wondering what the energy use comparison is to, say, conventional methods.
That's a good
question. It's actually, I can answer this a bit. It is a much lower energy footprint because you're not heating a giant space. An oven is heating, you know, a giant space inside your oven. And even though the biggest model here, Bruce talked about, was a 12-quart, you're still heating a much smaller space. And as far as I know, I did a little bit of research on this when I was writing the book. As far as I know, it has a lower electronic footprint than most toasters do. So that's because a toaster is tending to get really hot in order to do what it needs to do. This doesn't need to get quite that hot, and it also heats in 2 minutes. You put it on 350, and in 2 minutes it's at 350.
Some of them are heated up in just
because
minutes.
The space is confined, and so you're using actually a lower electric footprint there.
Awesome. That's what I wanted to hear. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
You know, I haven't found this in the book, but can you do donuts?
You can do donuts. There is a recipe for donuts.
There's a recipe for donut holes.
There's a recipe for donuts.
I want real, legit donuts.
Yeah,
I've never been able to make them at the house.
I made a dough. Just like you could do baked donuts, you can actually do them. Donuts, page 401, Ray.
All right, looking carefully. Follow along.
There's an index.
If you have the book at home, follow along
on page 401.
In your hymnal. Here we go.
Sweet biscuit donuts. And you make a dough with flour and sugar and baking powder and salt.
It's your cake
and milk
donuts.
And egg whites and a little vanilla and lemon milk and melted butter for going. It's actually, you like this one, Ray. There's a whole stick of butter in these donuts.
You see. Doesn't that clog up the air
fryer?
No,
because it goes into the dough.
No, it's in the dough.
It goes in the dough.
And I thought about this, and I want to say this also about cleaning up, and if you get an air fryer that we discovered and that we disagree with everybody else out there. Everybody else that's out there says you put the food in and turn the air fryer on.
Right.
We believe that you should heat the air fryer to the designated temperature, to like 350 or 375 or 400. 400 and then put the food in. And the reason is why is when we put food into a cold air fryer and let it heat up, some of the coating and some extra fat blew around the air fryer.
Makes sense.
So if it's hot, it seals it instantly.
Very good. And that's why, I mean, how much research did you do to make this problem?
Oh my goodness.
I don't know. Ask me how many pounds.
And how many recipes? You have 300 in the book. How many didn't make the grade?
Well, you know, I made a lot more recipes than we could put in the book. It's not that they didn't make the grade. We were limited to 300.
The writer here in the team says occasionally.
Found the gopher in the backyard and tried that, it was a non-starter, right?
No.
Well, it's like, look,
that.
I did the sort of Greek style grilled octopus.
Yeah.
And it was delicious, but Mark's like, we're not putting that in a book.
Why?
Because this book we want to be more of an introduction to air frying, and that seems like it is a step beyond an introduction to air frying.
So you're looking down upon your readers.
I'm not looking down upon my readers.
In fact, we're looking straight at you in the eyes. And my
you're looking at the wallet is what you're looking at.
And my, well, octopus is expensive. And also, I can't find it at my local Stop and Shop.
Right.
And we have a rule in books that if I can't find the ingredients at our local Stop
and Shop. At the Winstead, Connecticut
Stop and Shop. Then they cannot go in our book.
Thank you for bringing up the name of the store and the location. And it's perfect for public radio. Thanks. Oh,
no problem.
Ariella in Albany. Ariella, you're on.
Thank you for accepting my call. First, I have it for 2 years already. And what I'm doing, I'm putting a little bit water on the bottom. I have the drawer style, and it does not stick, so it's better for cleaning. Second, every time that I'm making a chicken breast, it's dry.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do not to make it dry?
Well, yes. Your idea of putting a little water in the bottom works on a lot of drawer models. It's a great idea because then the fat doesn't burn on the bottom and doesn't smoke. I do want to say that I do have an issue with putting water in the bottom, though. When it blows around with the hot air, it does create a little steam. And that steam can actually counter the crispiness you're trying to get on coating. So it's a two-edged sword to put water on the bottom. In terms of the chicken breasts being dry, if they're not coated, you run that risk of them drying out.
Yeah,
I find that the only way to keep chicken breasts juicier, boneless, skinless chicken breasts juicier in the air fryer is to make sure that they're coated with some kind of bread coating. If I just herb them up and put a little olive oil, they're almost always going to dry out. But if I give them a ground up cornflake coating or a breadcrumb coating, they stay much juicier.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thanks a lot. Well, Mark, you're from Texas, so you probably know from chicken fried steak, right?
I do.
Chicken fried steak in here?
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big fan of chicken fried steak.
I came up with a way, because chicken fried steak is a problem in the air fryer, because if you do a batter, the batter is going to drip right through the holes of the thing.
Right.
So I had to come up with a way to get a batter-like consistency, but have it be thick enough to hold on.
Yeah.
And so the way I did that was to use an egg and sour cream mixture and flour. So you go from the flour into the egg and sour cream mixture and then back into the flour. And then all that flour kind of holds that sour, creamy batter onto it and then give it a spritz. It is outrageous.
How authentic does it taste?
It's delicious, honestly. Well, I will admit to you, it does not have all that bubbly crush. You know how chicken... Listen, if you know about Texans, you know we call it chicken fried snake. And chicken fried snake always has that bubbly crust on it.
Right.
Okay, but this doesn't have the bubbly crust. But nonetheless, it is super crunchy. And
there is a video of my making that on our YouTube channel as well.
Give us that.
That is Cooking with Bruce and Mark is our YouTube channel. There are over 40 cooking videos 60, that 60, I shoot.
60.
Oh, Mark says there are 60 cooking videos that I have put up on there, and I am putting up new air fryer videos every week.
All right. I do like some candy bars and stuff.
I did the frozen Snicker bars. They're on there.
How about cookies? I love that at the fair, too. You get the deep fried Oreos.
That's really good.
Yeah.
They're fabulous.
They're good for you, too, I'm told.
Sure.
Let's go back to the phones. And Neil in Pine Bush. Neil.
Hi, guys. I just got an air fryer just before Thanksgiving because we wanted to make an extra turkey breast. I'm not sure I can say who makes it. It's a chef who likes to say bam a lot.
Oh, yes.
Kind of a bigger one.
Mm-hmm. James
kind
Beard.
Kind of a bigger one.
Yes,
I wanted to know if your cookbook has any recipes for, like, you know, if I get a different size, because it seems like everything I see is you need to find a 4-pound roast. You need to find a 2-pound tenderloin.
True.
Do you have, like, cooking certain meats, like, say, pork tenderloin, by this many minutes by the pound, or is it just kind of...
No, we don't.
It's by the red, yeah. Each recipe is standalone. There's no chart.
And the reason we didn't do that is because there is a slight variation about the cooking times amongst different models. And what we did is our book, unlike every other book, every single recipe is sized out for every size of air fryer. So the recipes are sized out for 2-quart, 4-quart, 8-quart, 10-quart, 12-quart air fryers.
Okay.
So they're completely sized out. And that range causes us to have timing fluctuations reflected in the recipe. This all sounds like too much. But in other words, I couldn't actually include a big chart in it.
No, that makes actually more sense. I kind of like the idea that you did it by size.
Yeah, they're all sized
out. Because everyone has different size cookers.
I know about the preheat thing that you had said.
Yep.
I tried to cook some, the pre-made store biscuits that you get.
Yep.
I put some in, and I put it in right away, and while it was preheating, it cooked.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
It.
So the timings are all going to be off.
Beep.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I heard the little beep, I turned over and I looked, and they were all golden brown.
Well,
and I was like, I bet the inside's not done. But
exactly.
No, it was perfect.
Oh, it was.
I'm glad that worked.
But that
for
just
you.
Tells you how fast this thing actually cooks. I mean, right? It cooks.
Yeah, it was about
super fast.
2 to 3 minutes, and I had biscuits.
Wow.
Amazing.
You could probably do a Pop-Tart in like 3 seconds.
You could do a homemade Pop-Tart.
All right, so where can I find your book again?
You can find our book wherever fine books are sold, bookstores or online. It is
awesome.
the Essential Air Fryer Cookbook.
That's right. Bruce Weinstein is here. Mark Scarborough is here. And that's their new book, The Essential Air Fryer Cookbook. It's a good book, nicely illustrated. The cover is interesting. It's definitely,
red.
It's red.
Look, he's being nice to us suddenly.
Yeah,
what is up?
You'll be gone soon. Let's see. Ryan in Berkshire County. Ryan, you're on.
I couldn't resist but put my 2 cents in here. I got my first air fryer about 2-3 years ago, and I love to cook. So essentially it sat in the closet for a few months because I thought it was a gimmick. I just said thank you when I got the gift and just tucked it away. After a little while, I decided, my girlfriend and I decided, hey, let's take this out. Let's try it out, see what we can do. It has stayed on our counter ever since. We use it at least once with every meal. But that said, I'm not on my first air fryer. We are actually on our third. And although we do take care of it and we clean it, we definitely have found that this is not maybe an investment, and that maybe your other listeners who may be skeptical, I definitely think you should take a shot on it. But maybe buy the third-party warranty that the local purveyor online store offers, because we've actually used it twice in that short amount of time. Yeah. Regardless, we just replaced it with another one, and we'll keep doing so.
Can I follow up with one question, Ryan? Can I just ask one question?
Yeah, absolutely.
What happened? Did they explode, or did they stop? I mean, what went wrong?
No, not exploding.
So here's the thing, and I know that the guests have mentioned it, that, like, high-fat foods may not be the right thing to put into the air fryer.
Right.
So we think it's been problems with the electronics. So maybe they're not sealed correctly above the fan and the electric coil that sits above the basket.
So nothing bad happened. They just stopped working, right? Is that it?
Of course not. No. Okay. Nothing. No fires. Nothing like that. No.
Okay.
And Ryan, it sounds like you use it all the time as well. And the more you use an appliance, the sooner it's going to wear out. And I'm thrilled you use it.
Of course.
We agree with you. This is an everyday appliance.
Yeah, honestly. Honestly, before we sat down to write this book, we did not own an air fryer. And we talked to our publisher about it. We said we think this is a really hot trend. We talked about what the book would involve. Anyway, so we started getting air fryers at that point. Honestly, I don't know how you live without one. It's really odd, right?
It blew me away.
I don't know how you do it without one now.
All right, Ryan, thanks for the call. All right, I got one for you. You can't do this. Fry an egg. Give me a nice fried egg.
No. You can do it if you put a pan, if you put a cake pan in the air fryer, heat it up, then you crack the egg into it and put it, close it up back up.
Have you done it?
Yes.
It works?
Yes.
There you go.
Sunny side up?
Sure.
Scrambled?
No, because are you going to open it every 3 seconds and scramble it?
I want you to get back to me on that. Wade in Northampton. Wade, you're on.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I think these guys providing some great information. And I used to do the majority of my cooking on a Big Green Egg, and now I don't even touch a thing. And I've got two air fryers, both models. And I'm not that I want to do any kind of endorsement for a product, but there's one that it's actually an Instant Pot. It's the Duo Crisp.
Yeah, that's right.
An air fryer lid.
Yeah,
it does. So you have the versatility of that Instant Pot with all those functions: pressure cook, sous vide, steam, slow cook.
And they're not.
Also has. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would say they're not the only ones doing that. There are now air frying lids that go on other pressure. There were third-party manufacturers as well as other makers making combination pressure cookers with the air frying lid.
And the lids have the
so the lid has
in,
a fan and the heating element. So that, let's say you spend 40 minutes making these ribs, which normally would have taken you 3 hours, then you can crisp them up with the air frying lid.
I can't believe, though, Wade, that you have dumped your Big Green Egg, because I think that thing makes fabulous chicken.
What's a Big Green Egg?
It's a smoker grill.
Ah, okay.
That's our next book.
Very high-end smoker
grill. Shouldn't it be our next book? Yeah, it should be our next book.
All right, Wade, thank you for the call. Let's go on over to Bonnie in Sharon, Connecticut. Bonnie, you're up.
Hi. Two words. Chicken bacon.
Oh.
Yep, you could do that without getting too much fat splatting around there.
Well,
and,
chicken skin.
I was thinking that to deal with the spatter, laying
hey, Bonnie, your radio's really, really loud.
Sorry.
Turn it off. Oh, there we go.
Sorry. My mistake.
That's all right.
Laying a paper towel over the chicken.
Oh, he's shaking his head.
To deal with the aberrant spatter as it, tries.
Why is that bad?
You can't put paper in there because it just
really?
The way. Yeah, well, because it's superheated air,
catch on fire.
And there is a heating element, and it can flame.
Could.
No, you don't want to put paper in there.
But you are right that chicken skin could be turned into the equivalent of chicken bacon in no time.
This is very exciting.
Air fryer, if that's the kind of thing you're into, which is exactly the kind of thing I would be into.
That My grandmother good. Called it gribness, but okay.
Yeah, we Goyish people call it bacon.
Listen, gentlemen, thank you for being here. The new book is The Essential Air Fryer Cookbook by Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough. Support comes from Rolling Rock Farm Salt and Seasoning, Sheffield, Massachusetts. Handcrafted in small batches, infused sea salts, peppers, and spices, featuring specialty and custom blend salt box gift sets for holiday gifting, mail order at rollingrocksalt.com. The Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscratch bakery, caterer, and cafe, offering fair trade coffee, blacksheepdeli.com. Field Goods, fresh produce, eggs, meat, dairy, small batch creations, and more from local farms and food entrepreneurs delivered to workplace and community locations, field-goods.com. And Buttermilk Falls Inn and Spa Milton, taking reservations for winter midweek welcome packages, rooms with fireplaces, spa amenities, country breakfasts, afternoon teas, December through March 31st, buttermilkfallsinn.com. Thanks once again to Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough for being here. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Kayleen White took the calls. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Have a lovely weekend. Thanks again for being with us on Vox Pop. And we'll be back on Monday, hopefully, if the hearings are done, with a medical Monday. Stand by now for the best of our knowledge.